Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 308, episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Thursday, October 12th, 2023.
Oh yeah, 10-12. You know what that is, Jack? Just tell them. Just say it. Just make up a day. Probably, there's 10, probably 12, a chance it's on. Yep,
National 10-12. Pineapple Ice Cream Day.
Oh, very close. World Sight Day, National Vermont Day, National Free Thought Day, which
kind of
raised some hairs. Yeah,
the
yes.
Foliage in
Vermont. National Savings Day, National Gumbo Day. I think probably the most important for all, you know. Obviously, respect to gumbo. Respect to all cooking, especially that comes from the South.
We must respect the gumbo.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, my name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Honey Tree Evil Eye. You know I love booze. Can't help myself. I love booze and nobody else. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na. Going out all night. Going out. Doing some blow. Doing some blow. That's courtesy of Steaming Chuck on the Discord. I've never been more certain that a dog was doing blow, like had a major cocaine habit, than I am. Honey Tree Evil Eye, of course, this is in reference to us discovering Honey Tree Evil Eye's real name, or Spuds McKenzie's real name was Honey Tree Evil Eye. And that dog was, and not just because they were a icon of the 80s, but just the whole thing. The Hawaiian shirt, the kind of puffy face. That dog was, you know, not just drinking Bud Light. It was fueling. Yeah.
Having a few nose beers, too.
Yeah. A couple nose beers. Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Oh, yeah! A.K.A. I've got drills, so don't go buying. You can borrow if you will. Social power is amplifying. It's electrifying. You better show up, play for Team Human. Keep our garbage free of tools.
You better show up,
drill a hole for me, then come to my barbecue. Oh, shout out to the past guest, Douglas Rushkoff. Just share them drills, have a barbecue, and let's move forward. Shout out to Blinky Heck for that Grease, a.k.a. the one musical I do know the song, most of the songs too. So thank you for putting that in my wheelhouse.
I got shoes there made of plywood was one of the misheard lyrics from my excuse me while I Kiss This Guy, misheard lyrics book that I've referenced in the past.
Mongreens, as yeah. Brian has, Mongreens. Producer Brian has told us, yes.
But nobody thought it was, I got shoes, they're made of plywood.
I got shoes, they're made of plywood.
That okay. feels, they had like two, yeah. As I mentioned before, they had two actual misheard lyrics, and then they just were like in a writer's room being like, fuck, just all having a nervous breakdown trying to make up other ones.
What else can we do?
What else? What else? What else? Shoes, they're made of plywood? That's something yeah. people might have thought. Anyways, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a brilliant yeah. writer, host,
yes.
producer behind shows like Fake Doctors, Real Friends. Brilliant writer you can read at Vulture, the AV Club, Team Vogue.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard her on Pop Culture Happy Hour, much more importantly on the Daily Zeitgeist, because it is the brilliant, the talented Joelle Monique!
The goddess of taste!
Take it. I'm adding it to my monikers. Goddess of taste is an exquisite moniker. Thank you.
I mean, it just feels very official. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I'm down with that. They reference me as their queen over on Fake Doctors. Here, I'll be a goddess. This is doing a lot for my ego, being it. I really respect that.
No. It's look, you just present yourself as you are, and we are just observing and giving our objective analysis, observations, if we will.
Just painting portraits over here.
This is kind of, you'd think, wait, was Ambrosia the goddess of taste?
Oh, she was the goddess of something. I know she got a salad that's not a salad and really weird.
Yeah, that's just like marshmallows.
Goddess of weird salads.
Yeah. Goddess of weird salads.
Goddess of salads that aren't really salads, along with like tuna salad and chicken salad. Just salad is in a, other countries is a word that translates to mayonnaise.
Oh, wait. Ambrosia wasn't a goddess, but a nymph. Sorry. Don't like Greek mythology.
Goddess adjacent.
Yeah. Exactly. You're kicking it with Dionysus, so you're good.
That's right.
The best god.
This is wine god. This is probably the first time we've been three people on an episode of Daily Zeitgeist who saw each other in person very recently.
Yes.
Within the last 24 hours.
Yeah, 16 hours, I would say.
Hot damn.
It's what we do. It's what we do. We had a nice dinner last night with the whole team. Shout out everybody that was there.
So cute.
Wonderful. Yeah.
It was good select, Miles.
Huh?
I said it was a good select. You selected the restaurant.
Miles
pulled the restaurant.
Good food.
Yeah, look.
I'm not a taste god. I'm merely just someone who likes to eat. You know, I'm not quite a deity yet. I'm trying though.
I'll knight you as a goddess. I'll be like,
thank you. Thank
you.
This
is a knight case.
It has to be with a lightsaber though, or else I won't respect it.
All right, Joel, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. We're going to talk about RFK Jr., who will now be running as an independent and just the overall response to that news. We'll talk about the Scholastic Book Fair, who responded badly to people being like, they caught the woke mind virus. We got
Okay.
What do you want us to do?
Sorry.
You just tell us.
We'll sell Pokemon cards instead of books about diversity. Yeah.
Jesus. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about how the new NASA spacesuits will be made by Prada for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But this made me identify the spacesuit as something that looks way better than it has any right. Like, it's, I don't know who,
it's
I guess.
Fucking spacesuit. It's
the spacesuit looks fucking dope, man. And it always kind of has. And I'd always sort of taken it for granted that it did until they put it in this fashion context. And now I'm like, man, like that spacesuit is fucking fire.
The
like that orange one from 88.
The 88 flight suit.
Yeah, we both
iconic.
Pointed out the same one at the same exact time.
Yeah, because that shit is lit. I feel like that kind of mainstreamed wearing like that sort of safety orange color as like a like something part of the fashion palette. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So having the taste goddess on with us, mm-hmm. we'll take a look at that. I also just want to identify other kind of uniforms, examples of uniforms or like, you know, clothing that are just way more fashionable, way cooler than they have any right to be.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the erotic thriller being back, maybe, kind of.
Mm.
And we'll talk about the Seinfeld reunion that isn't happening. Just so anybody who's waiting on that doesn't
so don't even
hope,
so. No point in talking about it.
Yeah, but just so the point of talking about it is like it's guys they're fucking doing another Super Bowl commercial. Like, it's almost a Super Bowl commercial,
on?
Right?
All right. I guess. I don't know. Yeah, let
what
him
was
know.
The
let
other
know.
One, like Ferris Bueller, where they're like a new sequel to Ferris Bueller? It's like, what? Why would anybody want to see that?
And what would it be about? Like,
then it was a Super Bowl commercial with old Matthew Broderick. Whatever Broderick doing Ferris Bueller stuff, and it was fine. It was able to sustain a whole 90 seconds, which yeah. Anyways,
wow. Well, that's like. It would be funny if they had it come back together and like Cameron, who plays Connor Roy, like Alan Ruck from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, like they fast forward and he's like, I was Connor Roy that whole time.
No.
Yeah.
There's one thing you don't know. Because wasn't it his dad's car that they
fucked
up? He
was so scared of his dad. Yeah.
He's the main character of that story anyway. So like when you come back, because nobody cares about Ferris. Like, Perfect Kid who has a wonderful day, not the key element of the story. It's his best friend who's like trying to figure out what to do with his life as he's like on the precipice of going off to college. Yeah. I would definitely come back and watch a Connor Roy style. Like, he'd be the cool version of Connor Roy because he was like, no, screw you, Dad. I did fuck up your car and I don't give a shit.
He was going to fold the second his dad got home.
How dare
he was
going to
put Ferris Bueller in prison. He was going to be like, Dad, Ferris stole the car.
And that he was like, and he fucking like led a St. Patrick's Day parade and shit, too, like illegally. Yeah. And broke
He's
into
too
a,
powerful
a dance
dad.
Number with people.
Could have ran him out to the principal like immediately the next day. It's a terrible.
Tried to
I don't
murder
like
that principal, Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cameron Fry, Connor Roy. I mean, it's kind of right there, folks. I feel like that's like some kind of fan video someone would cut to try and make it seem like that was like young Connor Roy. Anyway, there's an idea for people.
He's always been, you know, channeling a ruined scion of the wealthy. So,
right.
You know, it's a very specific thing, but, you know, it's kept him enclosed for a long time. It's kept him doing pretty well, kept him working. Yeah. Anyways, all of that, plenty more. But first, Joelle Monique, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Okay, so stay with me on this one. Best bread maker woman. I was looking for the name of a woman who bakes bread really well. Her name is Nancy Silverton.
Oh, yeah.
She created the bread over at La Brea Bakery. It is so damn good. Google came back with like, here's a bunch of bread makers women might like. Not at all what I was looking for, but we found her eventually.
And does that mean they're just bread makers, but they're pink? Is that like,
yeah, like here's a pretty teal one. Here's right. a one that's easy to use. The favorite
women
bread
might like. Oh, Jesus Christ.
The favorite one I came across was like, all you have to do is just dump all the ingredients in the bread maker and it'll knead and then bake the dough for you.
Mm.
I was like, I wouldn't trust this, but I like the idea that out there someone's like, I want bread without any effort, but not enough to like go buy a loaf of bread.
Right.
So I want the smell of fresh baked bread in my house.
Yeah. I want to make fresh baked bread without realizing I'm doing that.
Right.
Exactly. Like by accident. I want to accidentally make fresh made bread.
Whoa, that's bread.
Oh damn, look at that.
Sick. I'm having that. It's why Nancy Silverton, I'm the GOAT, you know, Moza. Fucking, have you been to Triple Beam, the pizza place in Highland Park?
I have not been to Triple Beam.
Triple
but
Beam,
people,
Lyrical
like,
Supreme.
Love it.
Triple Beam, Lyrical Dream.
There.
I'd be that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Chris Wallace. Yeah. That place is fantastic also.
Love
Roman
Mata.
Style pizza, I believe, is what they call it.
Yes. She's all about that limited ingredient. She was like, I want to taste the freshness of the ingredient and I want every dish to be simple so that you are purely enjoying like the natural taste that the earth has given you. And I think that is a beautiful philosophy behind food. Also, she was like a chef owner at a very young age. She made bread so good, she once made Julia Child's cry on TV.
I think Julia was going through something at that point,
no,
by the way. I don't
if you watch the episode, the whole time Julia's like, oh, this is very nice. You know, I love your little store. So cute. Da, 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 da. And Nancy's like, okay, so here's the bread. So Julia Child tastes it. And she gets so quiet. Like, placidly quiet.
Wow.
And a single tear pours from her eyes and she says, I'm sorry, this is so good. There's never no one's ever
given
a compliment that tops that. That
no.
is the top of compliments.
Yeah. That's like that's giving me chills and I'm like,
right?
Damn. Like I don't think what would be something like that? I don't even know. God. That just tells
you make,
you.
Like,
that
a
creme
fraiche
brioche tart.
Michael Jordan compliments your free throw maybe.
Yeah. Michael Jordan compliments the way I dunk from the free throw line.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you dunk from the free throw line, and then he just comes up to you, like, crying those same tears from, like, The Last Dance. He's like, man, I just...
Joe Rogan comes on our podcast with Bill Simmons and is like, dude, this podcast is tight. You know,
the two best followers.
Those are the objectively best podcasters, right?
Based on numbers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
If you can make a Marvel single film tier. So good, you change Scorsese's mind about Marvel films.
There you go.
Tops. Yeah. Tops.
Tell him.
I don't see him making any movies starring Iron Man, so maybe he should shut his big mouth. Joel, by the way, you are a film critique, a film enjoyer, a film writer. Well, have you seen any of the big ones thus far that are coming up?
Actually, so not really, unfortunately. I've watched a lot of old movies and a lot of really old television lately because of the strike. I haven't, you know, I've been more focused on the week. I was like, this is a great opportunity to catch up on a lot of old
on
stuff.
Everything else.
Yeah, so I've been watching Doctor Who. For like starting in the 2005 relaunch of that series, which has been really great. Reading a lot of audiobooks, also great. Yeah, you know, I know,
Dr. House, Dr. Medicine, Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. You it sounds like you can't think of which doctor you've been watching.
Sorry. It's a Doc Ock, Dr. Octopus.
Oh, man. Being a dad, like these jokes just, you know, flow through me.
We know.
I have to say him. I have to say him. I'm sorry.
We know. We know. And we keep him in.
And we keep him in to teach you a lesson.
Just so you know.
Amazing. What is what's something you think is overrated?
Okay. Don't get mad, internet. Just calm down. I think physically reading a book is overrated because we now have audiobooks with expert narrators. And you could just be going about doing the mundane things you have to do as an adult, okay? While you're eating your spinach and doing your dishes, mm-hmm. somebody with voice level talent will come in and read you a book so good and so like captivating, you won't be able to put it down. You can walk your dog. You don't have to stop and read. Mm-hmm. And I have ADD. My hands get fidgety. So when I'm reading, I'm like, I'm either up and pacing or like I'm putting it down and getting sidetracked and daydreaming and thinking about other stuff. I love physical books. I have many. I'm about to buy another bookshelf to store all of my books. But I really, really enjoy doing the audiobooks. I just got an e-library card, which I think is the best thing I've done ever. I've stopped giving Amazon money to buy one new audiobook a month. And now I read like five audiobooks a month because I have my library card. Libby, the best app. It's so good. You can do, and you can still physically read books if you want to.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think is great. The only problem, and it's not even really a problem with Libby, in order to be reasonable, they have to purchase the audiobooks and then lend them out at like a regular rate. It's like a
one
physical
at a
copy.
Time, right?
Yeah, yeah. So they'll have like 30 like, copies and each one
we're
will
going
be out.
To pretend
so
then you're like, this is a tape.
Yeah, exactly. So then you have to, it's a weeks long wait list sometimes. It's like there's a hot new book, like the sequel to a book I just finished is coming out in a couple of weeks. They're like, you're 756th in line. I was like, what?
What? No.
Okay. Fair. May have to buy the book anyway. But I really like it, especially because sometimes if I'm have a physical copy of a book and I'm like, this is really hard to get through, or I'm feeling like a little stuck, or I need to get up and do other things, I'm like, let me just go see if it's on Libby and I'll just skip forward to the chapter I'm at. And now I'm picking up right where I left off. It's a beautiful thing. And I just don't, I know some people are very like anti the audiobook. They're like, that's not real reading. And I tell you, the story got here, all the messages they were trying to convey still up here in the brain. I think it's totally valuable.
Yeah, I definitely have that like weird thing inside my head where like, I'm like, this ain't reading, it's listening. But also I'm like, but I'm taking in the information. I know like there's always like think pieces about like, is it, I listened to an audiobook for my book club. Am I bad? And people are like, look, it depends, you know, like, sure, you're going to engage your imagination a little bit more when you're reading a book. But if like some books, like they're going to hit the same whether you're reading them or listening to them. Obviously, like a technical manual. Probably not easy to like read because you kind of need to see all the shit out there. I don't know.
Listen, I mostly read fantasy novels anyway.
Right.
And so being able to, somebody who has like just all the voices and the cool stuff, reading words that are not real words that the author made up, and now I know the actual pronunciation. That's beautiful. Right. Really appreciate that. And then I think that there's something really magical about, like, I don't know, carpet time, where we got to read a book, like our teacher would read us a book before nap time. It was like my favorite time in school. And there's definitely something being recreated in listening to an audiobook about that, where I'm like, I don't think there's any less imagination if I'm still closing my eyes and picturing what's happening in the book. If someone's reading it to me, it just frees me up to be a little bit looser with it.
I think, look, I think where it gets like weird is like, don't let it dissuade you. If there's something that interests you, like, no, I can't listen to that, I have to read it. Don't put that off. If you're going to if you're going to engage with the information, then just do it. It's better than not engaging with like new ideas or information. So fuck
it. I agree. There are some books that I have to physically read. Like Toni Morrison's Jazz, I tried to listen to the audio. It's like my favorite book. I read it like once a year. But I can't listen to the audiobook because there's a rhythmic syntax that the narrator isn't hitting. And I was like, I can't sink into what's happening here. Yeah. I have to read it in the format of her language that she like physically wrote. Or I'm reading Babel right now. I bought a physical copy while it's being read to me. So that, because reading it was a challenge because it's in multiple languages, right? So like the main character is Chinese. And so he's speaking a different language, and then he has to switch back to English, and I don't understand all the words. But, you know, if somebody's reading it to me, oh, man, now it's like, I can just take it all in a lot easier. I can follow along. Right. I can highlight and take notes in my book while it's being. I just love it. I think it's fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah. I think having both options available to me is really, like, my sweet spot of, like, that is when I really take in a book. If it's being read to me while I'm reading it, like, you're getting both. Because I'm definitely more of a, like, I've created like cheats. Like I've explored all the different apps for like having text read to you, like, and just have like different, you know, I have our doc sometimes, like the doc that we use to, you know, structure our show. I have that read to me sometimes, but like being able to read it and have it read to you at the same time, like, is how I've had great experiences with that in the past couple of years. And yeah, you can also, like, Gravity's Rainbow, I'd never made much of a dent in. And when I was on vacation last year, I was able to, like, get hundreds of pages into that by having it read to me while I was reading it with my eyes. And then then I lost steam when I got back.
It's also not our fault. We don't live in a world of, like, public transit. You used to be able to read a lot on, like, public transit or, like, while you're waiting for the bus if you can't do, like, motion sickness and stuff. But in L.A., we're all in our cars all the time. And I think that this helps us bridge a gap. This is how we catch up to New York in our books read annually.
That's right. We need to be as smart as New York.
And we need to offset the difference between our cities. Yeah, by listening.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll hear what you think is underrated and get into some news. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zai Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. And we're back. And Joelle Monique, what is something that you think is underrated?
Multiple birthday celebrations.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. Okay. So some people get really offended when they're like, your birthday is a day and that is all you get. I have never subscribed to that because my birthday is October 1st. And so my birthday month starts with my birthday and ends with Halloween. It is a perfect bookend month. I'm not going to stop celebrating simply because the day has passed. It makes zero sense to me. And I have like a lot of friends from different groups that, you know, not all of them are going to overlap, but you kind of want to like celebrate and hang out with all of them. You don't want people to feel upset when they're not invited to your party. Then that becomes a whole thing. So my workaround has been I'll do a lot of small parties. I had two or three friends. So I like my very first party this year, we went to a super nice restaurant, which of course I can't remember the name of it now. And then we went and saw the musical Hadestown, which was so good. So I had a fancy night with my fancy friends. Then I went to Descano Gardens, which is like a it's like a big, what's it called? Like an arboretum? Is that what it is?
It's like an arboretum or you call it an arboretum slash gardens. What do you call that? Floral. What the fuck am I looking for? Like Huntington
Gardens. This is what it's called.
Just gardens. But isn't that like a garden?
What am I? Botanical garden?
Botanical
gardens. There it is. They got all the different kinds of flowers, rose sections, and lilies,
and it's Halloween themed
and lilacs.
Now too.
And right now it's Halloween themed, which means they have giant pumpkins that are carved. Ooh. They have like pumpkin statues and hay mazes and little installations.
It's spooky?
Yeah,
I mean, like whimsical.
You could take your 2-year-old there.
Deal. Yeah, I went there with my little baby. Yeah, the guy's child was loving it. Yeah,
yeah, they got the lights that are flashing. It's beautiful. So I went.
Any
with,
people
like,
run out of the woods with fake chainsaws?
No,
not even close.
No. Not even
close.
One jump scare.
They never have, mind then.
They have people. They do people all along the path. It's funny because we did talk about that. We had the impulse to be like, should we just start scaring these children and teach them what Halloween is really about? But that's inappropriate. They do have...
Wait, what are you going to do when your parents age and you're responsible for their medical bills and you're just trying to build your own life? What? Oh, sorry. That's just a thought my generation has that we're deeply afraid of that we aren't really considering yet and how medical debt could maybe be ours. Anyway, go on.
We're not prepared. So it was... We rolled, I think, like 15 deep. Which is great. It's a real, like, you walk about, like, a mile, maybe. It's, like, a very casual, like, weaving through of things. They have churros there. If there's churros, it's going to be magical. Yes. And candy. I can't do candy apples because they make my teeth hurt. But it's sticky, and you have to bite into it, and it's also hard. I just don't think they're meant for adults to eat. I think that's the thing you can do when you have a second set of teeth coming in, and it doesn't matter what happens to the first set.
Behind your adult teeth.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. I got unlimited teeth. My teeth. I got rat teeth. They just keep growing. Kind of have to grind them down.
That's a delight.
Wait, do rat teeth keep growing?
Yeah, they just keep growing, and as they get longer, like... So they have to like chew on things to like grind them down to keep them from getting too long in their mouth.
Oh shit! Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
every that's why every aspect of the rat is horrifying.
It's truly.
Hey man, that's my zodiac year. You know, I'm a rat, but it explains why my teeth always just. I got to file them down every 3 months.
The rat, but yeah.
Yeah. It's so multiple birthday celebrations have them. I got. What are we doing next week? Apple picking. We're going to apple picking.
Amazing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
so I like though too. You're not trying to do a thing where like everybody come to this nightclub and pay for my drinks. You're just like, hey, it's a reason to get together, you know. And that's it. It's not because I remember when I was younger, there were people who did the very fucking like main character type of like birthday 2 weeks. And you're like, wait, what the fuck? I'm being summoned to another fucking club for someone's birthday. And I'm like, no, I'm like, I fucking hate clubs. And no, like, I'm not paying.
Yeah, you've hit the key element. You got to circulate through different friends or family. Like, this is my family party. This is my girls party. This is my bros party. This is my nerd party. Like, break it up into groups so that you're not overtaxing people or demanding too much. I also think it's great. My friend Cheyenne just had her birthday party and she was like, tapas place, nothing over $15. Wherever you're at financially, you're going to have a good time. Like, this is brilliant. Brilliant.
Easy.
All right. Yeah. Well, speaking of brilliant, RFK Jr. is...
what are you, Fox News 2 months ago or two weeks ago?
Yeah, right. You know, guy sees the Matrix. He sees through it all. And he, you know, first he was running as a challenger to Joe Biden as the Democratic spoiler. And, you know, he had a rocky start to his campaign. He hosted a campaign event that was ruined by a deafening fart. And in that same campaign event, he was filmed claiming that COVID was genetically engineered to spare Ashkenazi Jews and Chinese people. So just
some light anti-Semitism and xenophobia just to kick things off. Yeah, for everybody.
Yeah, I'm sure. I have to imagine he came back and said, "I don't have an anti-Semitic bone in my body." I don't. He did say something to that effect.
Yeah, where it's of like, course. But it's like, you guys aren't getting what I'm saying. It's like, well, no, we're talking about what the implication is of what you're saying.
So you might think, okay, after that, he's probably out of public embarrassments. But no, he had another event, this one to announce that he wouldn't be seeking the Democratic nomination. And instead, he will run for president as an independent. And because there's no vaccine for incompetence, and even if there was, he wouldn't take it, it did not go well. What was his campaign slogan?
Declare your independence was what it was.
The first thing that happened, his new campaign slogan is declare your independence, and then like people heard like what one of his campaign managers was like frantically going around being like, declare your independence off the TV. Take it off the TV. We're not ready to reveal that yet. We're not ready to reveal that yet. And so they just like changed it to like the signal bars, like the multicolored bars.
Yeah, like test tones. Like,
Things have gone wrong with whatever TV signal. So that goes up instead. Meanwhile, there's a big sign that says declare your independence like right behind.
Physical sign right there.
And then he finally gets up on stage and sets up to reveal make his speech, and then leaves the stage again.
Dude, just listen to this. He shows up. It's so comical. He's like, he's acting like me, like on a first date where I do the thing where I forget my wallet so I don't have to pay. He's like, he's like, oh shit, I don't have my fucking speech. Yeah. And then it turns into a carnival. Here we go. He's taking the stage, patting his pockets.
I need my speech.
People are laughing. Hot mic.
You can't read anything. What?
This is real.
Yeah.
What? Then comes back to lectern, goes back again. He looks like he's like starting to get pissed.
He says the teleprompter is now upside down. And so then
the crowd is losing energy, just waiting.
Yeah. And then there's like
so bad.
But it's like this whole choreographed media thing where like there's like a swooping crane shot coming in over the audience to like an empty lectern.
And he's like patting his coat. And he doesn't.
He doesn't look like he's dealing well with it, you know, like some politicians would just like roll with it and be like charismatic and be like, you know, this is no big deal.
Yeah.
He looked like he was like someone was getting fired for him having forgotten his speech was the impression that you got. So, yeah, no vaccine for incompetence, unfortunately. And of course, he would not take it. I just wanted to repeat that joke from our writer, J.M. I thought it was good. So he may end up being the most formidable independent candidate since Ross Perot. Like, despite all of this, despite the anti-Semitism, despite the
anti-vax stuff,
or possibly because of the anti-vax stuff,
right?
He, you know, this now puts him in a position where he's going to, like, currently he's polling at around 14%. 15% is what is required to, like, get into the presidential debates.
Yeah.
So this man could be in the presidential debates spreading vaccine truth or bullshit, which mm-hmm. is not great for the future of the country. Not great for, I don't know, like, everybody's claiming this as like a win for their side. But when you look at like who's actually freaking out about it, it does seem like the Republican side is pretty unhappy with this development. I think this is certainly Aliens versus Predator, whoever wins, we all lose type situation with him coming and joining and like being just any extra RFK Jr. that the public gets is probably an L for the public, right?
Oh, yeah. And but the other thing that's wild, though, is like you're saying, the second he's like, yeah, I'm running as a Democrat, the right wing media loved him because they immediately were like, just saw him purely as this is going to be a Biden spoiler. We love this guy. We fucking love this guy, to the point that he was having more weekday appearances on fucking Fox than even like Ron DeSantis was. And he was getting name checked more than Mike Pence was when Media Matters was doing like an analysis of Fox's coverage of him. And it started off so rosy, so lovely. We were hearing all kinds of things. Let me play something here. This is Jesse Waters coming out right around the time that he announced his campaign to be like, this Democrat gets it.
So RFK Jr. has a vision. I mean, at least he has one. Biden has none. RFK Jr.'s lane is on the populist left. Unlike Biden, he's against the deep state, obviously, because of what happened to his dad and uncle. Anti-censorship. Remember, the Biden White House censored him over vaccines. Wow. He's riding a hot anti-corporate streak, especially against big pharma and big tech.
And then so he goes on to be like, this guy, like, you know, this guy's got a head on, you know, there's something about this guy. Here's even Sean Hannity, who at the time was like, this guy's got something, like, this is because RFK is also doing the stuff of like, we need to strengthen the southern border and doing that whole xenophobic thing that appeals to people on the right. So here's Sean Hannity praising RFK when he visited the southern border.
Wow, that's a Democrat. RFK delivering a much needed dose of reality to the entire Democratic Party, all while gaining real support and sparking, quote, jitters inside of Biden's orbit. He's also against biological men and women's sports and was dead set against how the country was treated with regards to COVID. And his candidacy is getting very interesting.
Ooh.
He's going, yeah, this guy's also a transphobe. And but
he so just we says good he's here. Against biological men and women's sports.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's verbatim. Are you against? You're just against men and women playing sports? What's happening, sir?
Biological men in women's sports.
Men in sports. In women's
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sports.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
No, he's what just they a think is one of the. I just thought he was very confused.
Yeah. They're playing together? What's next?
Mixed doubles?
Yeah.
They
not at my country club.
Well, Miles, the Fox News is traditionally very ideologically consistent, and I can't imagine that they've changed their tune now that he's no longer running as a Democrat, right? Like, it would seem like if he's not running as a Democrat, make them like him more, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like know. Democrats. Here's fucking RFK two nights ago on Hannity, and Hannity just fucking comes for his neck. He's like, you think the NRA is a terrorist? You supported Hillary, like, just being like, you're a lib asshole, aren't you?
Wow.
Here's just a little bit of that exchange when Hannity just fucking put him against the wall. Here we go.
So you've made in 2016, 17, 19 endorsements. We know the years Gore, Kerry, Obama, Hillary, Bernie Sanders. They're all recent quotes. The NRA quote you made about calling them a terror group was 2018. So these are recent positions you've had. That I'm not sure why the Democratic Party wouldn't allow you to compete.
Do you want to talk about my position, Sean?
Yes, sir.
You want to read talking points from the Trump campaign?
Well, excuse me. These are not talking points. These are called Hannity points. I do my own research.
Oh.
Okay.
They're called Hannity points.
That is such a dad arguing with a teenager type rhetoric. It's like, they aren't called, these aren't called, it's not called unfair. They're called daddy's rules.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what's going on. And I did my research. Exactly.
We're not having an argument. I'm telling you how it is when you live under this roof.
Right. I don't need to explain myself. I'm the parent and you're the child. Okay. These aren't Trump points. These are daddy's points.
These are Hannity points. Trademark.
I do my own research. Like, he did it all. Like, he hit the whole, all, like, all of the great retorts that you do. And so I was like, what are you even saying? I do my own research, man.
Thank you.
And I guess it makes sense because really, for all the talk of like, oh, he's going to spoil Biden's campaign or whatever, it's there's, you got to consider RFK Jr.'s appeal with anti-vaxxers. And when you couple that with the outrage from a lot of MAGA people, when, like, we've talked about when, like, Trump has been like, and I developed the vaccine, and people are like, boo!
fuck the vaccine! Fuck you!
That's when you start to kind of see where they might be like, oh, is he gonna take our voters a little bit? Who knows here? Which way is it gonna crumble? But yeah, they're little sweaty times right now at Fox.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. And like, a lot of his campaign up to this point was funded by right-wing groups. So like, he kind of pulled a yoink on him, you know, and was like, yeah, I'll take your funding, that's great, I'm gonna challenge Biden and Trump,
I'm gonna fuck both their campaigns up.
You hate to see it, Miles. You really hate to see it.
You really do. But the deep state though, Jack, what do you think? Got him his dad and his uncle
because of what I did to his dad and his uncle. That's just straightforward, self-evident declaration that the CIA killed RFK and JFK on Fox News.
Yeah, but yeah. Well, no, people don't. They just go, the deep state did it.
The deep
whatever
state,
that
right.
is. This abstraction we just call the deep state. Yeah, yeah. They did that. They did that.
Probably the guys who tried to impeach Trump are the ones who did it.
Yeah, same guys. They're still alive. They're old though now, so they're not as spry as they used to be.
All right. Let's talk about Scholastic Book Fairs. They're still out here. My kid's school had one where
Big red bookcases still.
Yeah, I think they have the big red bookcases. Yeah, but they come in, set up big bookcases in a place that doesn't like not in the library.
No, it's like in the parking
the gym.
Lot.
Yeah, and
ours is in the parking lot.
I loved these. School. Like, did you guys love like when Scholastic came to town?
Jack, we just had a whole conversation about books. I was like queen of Scholastic book fair. Okay, my mom would be like, here's a sharp 20, which if you spent your money wisely, you get like up to four books, but probably like two and some stickers and like
eraser.
A nice bookshelf or a bookmark. Yes, a pencil eraser would be great. I usually went for bookmarks. I was always losing and bending them. But it was like the best time of year. And if you were had on that Pizza Hut, additional Scholastic stuff where you got a pizza and then like Scholastic points, were they doing that when y'all were kids?
No, wait, what? What did they do at Pizza
Hut? Yeah, they were doing the Pizza Hut when I was a kid.
Yeah. I think you like would read so many books and then like take your stuff to the Pizza Hut and then they would give you like the little like either like a coupon thing or like something.
Oh yeah,
pizza
we used to lie to get that.
Lies. Oh god.
Oh, my Pizza Hut interrogated me using the Socratic method to find out if I read the books.
I love that.
We did that. We like our school would have days that were just reading. Like it was like once a year, but they would have a day where you would like bring a blanket to school and just like pick a spot. Like people were like, you know, spread out with their books in the hallway. And you just read the whole day. And it was like a competition
magical.
To see if you could like how many pages you could put away.
Wait, really?
Yeah, it was fun. Shout out to Magzig Middle School in outside Dayton, Ohio.
I never even had shit like that. That was
they did not
that
let
was
us
like a day off.
Yeah, it was fun. That was middle school, but that was a blast.
Well, I want to go back to middle school then.
Me too.
Although Billy Madison style.
less cool now because as of, you know, Scholastic's still a major thing. It's holding 120,000 book fairs at schools across the U.S. as of 2017. But recently they have been responding to people saying the book offerings are too diverse and they're forcing the woke agenda on our kids. Some school librarians have been posting on social media accusing Scholastic of giving schools an option to exclude diverse books from their fairs, including books on racial and LGBTQ plus issues.
These are the books, like some of the books that are being like blacklisted are, I can't, like one is called Alma and How She Got Her Name. It's by Juana Martinez Neal.
It is the least.
It's a Caldecott honor book. You know, that gold seal when you're like, this shit is approved for children. It's about the origins of a girl's name. You Are Enough. It's a book co-written by an 11-year-old model and actress with Down syndrome. Change
Not on my watch, asshole.
Yeah. What? No, don't show kids that. Don't let kids accept themselves. Change Sings, that's by Amanda Gorman. Her book, Refugee by Alan Gratz. It's about three stories of like 13-year-olds that are like having to be refugees and shit from different perspectives and different time periods. And they're like, get this shit out of here.
Don't push your empathy on my kids. Yeah. You can't have them feeling empathy.
Which is wild, too, because it's done so cynically that all of those books are within, like, because you remember the Scholastic Fair is like, they're like these like metal cases that fold up in half and then they wheel them in and out and then unlock them and open them up. So apparently they just have one of those red cases that has all the diversity books in them. So they're super easy to just excise from the fucking book fair.
Horrifying.
And some librarians who opt to accept the diverse bookcase aren't getting it in time for the start of the fair. They're like, oh, sorry, guys. We this one is heavier than the other ones.
Fell off the truck again.
Yeah, damn.
Jesus.
But yeah, I don't know. Scholastic is a for-profit company that continues to support J.K. Rowling. You know, and be like, yeah, well, she has her opinions, but she also made us a lot of money. And
continues to make us a lot of money, will forever make us a lot of money. I can forgive, like, listen, J.K. Rowling is a terrible person, and we do not support her in any way, shape, or form. I can forgive a company being like, this $11 billion can help me, like, fund, like, 27,000 artists coming up. I have less of a problem with that, but the idea that you're going to remove diverse books from children's access is mine. But like, I can remember, like, I got books about like indigenous peoples. I got books about like Mexican culture. Like my first like chapter books about like other cultures directly came from the Scholastic Book Fair, and the idea that they're not available anymore. And especially when you like zoom out and consider that most of these like book banning, it's like what, 11 people who are just hopping around to different school districts being like, hey, these books need to be banned. And people are folding to the pressure of a very small, tiny group of people who are just extremely loud. It's so disappointing.
Yeah.
There are like reports of like parents just basically putting the money together if the school even denies having one. And the parents have just been putting it on too. Like it's interesting to see how there are responses from parents who are like, this is fucked up. He's like, they deserve to have this. Fine, then we'll fucking foot the bill to at least get the fucking bookcases somewhere. Yeah. But this has kind of been like, they've been doing shit like this for a minute. There was like another book that was about like this woman who's Japanese American was talking about like, it's like a story about how her parents met like in a Japanese internment camp in World War II. And then the Scholastic version of it, they asked her to take out like a phrase about like the racism of America at that time and another paragraph about it. And everyone was like, are you fucking for real right
in
now?
In her
like,
artist statement. Sorry. They wanted her to censor her artist. Not even content from the book that you're already selling. It was like her artist statement in the back of the book about why she made it. Why were you censoring your own artist? Like, that is an insane thing to do. And to your earlier point, Miles, like when I think about the books being banned, like Matthew Cherry's Hair Love, which is literally about a little girl who really wants to have her hair done nice because she's going to go visit her mom, and dad has to learn how because she's not walking out of this house not looking good. And then it turns out she really wanted to look good because her mom has cancer and just shaved all of her hair off, and they used to have fun doing her hair in cute styles. That's the entirety of the book. At what point are you offended, or do you need to protect a child from that
Right.
Like those images. Like it's just so sinister.
They're going to learn about the associated costs of cancer treatment. And then they're going to probably start advocating for Medicare for All or universal health care or some shit like that. It's like really wild. It really is like at every level. It's like they're trying to like dull the development of like a sense of empathy from kids, like yeah. in anything. It's like, why can't it just be about those kids that live in that dang boxcar?
Like, right.
That dang boxcar.
They were poor. Right. They had a good time. You know what yeah. I mean?
They bootstrapped it out of that boxcar, didn't they?
Yeah. There's also, you know, there's been the unexplicitly right-wing book fair, Brave Book Fair, run by the opposite of Brave Book Fair. But
the
that's
Cowardly Lions Book Fair.
Yeah. It's run by the Christian publisher that Kirk Cameron works with.
Okay.
And the website also provides banners with the language through which to demand books be removed from book fairs at schools. So they're just trying to use technology to spread lazy, like, you know, talking points and make it easier for people to start thought-killing movements in schools.
Bananas. God bless the librarians out here doing the Lord's work, being like, alarm needs to be raised so people know what's happening. Also making sure a lot of these books stay accessible to children, which I really
love. Like, what's this new coloring book, My Little Comf? What the fuck is this? And it's like, oh, I don't know. I don't know how that got in there. But it is like, you know, it's just, I think what we're seeing, like to your point, Joelle, is like, it's just a capitalist money-making machine. So at every level, just like, how do we sell more books? Because that's why now it's like, there's like not even books. It's like part books. And it's like, hey, you want toys?
Mm-hmm.
We got that shit too. And a lot of people are like, this isn't helpful. Like, what the fuck is this? They're like, I don't know. I thought a kid would want a remote control car or something too.
Yeah. Stuff Scholastic is by no means like a good option for this. Like they've really like kind of created a monopoly and have a stranglehold on the market. And they, like you said, they've been criticized by a consumer watchdog group for using their book clubs to push video games, jewelry kits, and toy cars to kids. And it's also
some gender normative shit for the kiddies. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it can be fucked up for like kids who don't have the means to buy the books, you know, to like,
oh yeah.
Yeah, it totally, becomes like a flex off for third
Dude,
graders.
I remember,
you know?
I remember I thought I was styling with fucking like the $5 my mom gave me in first grade. And at the time, I got like a Pee-wee Scouts book and a Bobby Bonilla Mets poster. And I didn't even fuck with the Mets, but I had to max out that $5 my mom gave me. And I was like, fuck it. I'll fuck with Bobby Bo now in the Mets. And then I remember I would see these other kids fucking armfuls of books, and that was one of the moments I was like, is there such thing as rich kids? Like, that's the first kind of, that was my first taste of seeing like those, that kind of difference in class. Obviously, like, difference than like you go to some kid's house and it's gigantic, you're like, holy shit, oh, how y'all living over here? But before even all that, because I would hang out with my friends, I were, you know, similar class, seeing the kids come out with like 17 books and like everything from a case, you're like, oh fuck,
yeah,
okay. A little bit different. I'm doing things a little bit different. Okay. All good.
Yeah. We got to get Dolly Parton to come in and teach us how it's done. Is she like eradicated illiteracy in Tennessee, basically? I think like increased literacy by 73% in children. She just hands out free books. I like that idea. If Scholastic was a real one, they would just be like, here's some free books to the school.
Yeah.
Every child gets like 2 or 3 free books. Go ahead and read, children. Enjoy. Yeah.
It's like, I think they're publicly traded. I think they're, you know, they have to look at shareholder value, which is always what you want driving the education of your children, is shareholder value.
Yeah. They're on NASDAQ. Hey, all right, man.
Hey, that's down to pretty cool, dude.
Hey, get in now, man. Buy the dip.
That's right. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back.
We are.
And it was recently announced that the spacesuits for NASA's 2025 lunar mission will be designed by Prada.
Hell yes.
Despite the fact that there's literally nobody on the moon to impress with fancy clothes. But I guess a lot of people will be watching as they go to the moon, and Prada is going to have them looking good. The suits will provide, quote, increased flexibility. Maybe increased flexing, you know, and greater protection for the astronauts. I don't buy that. Okay, increased flexibility. I'd be like, all right, they have access to like maybe different fabrics and like, you know, I could maybe on that. But Prada knows how to provide greater protection than NASA.
That's yeah. I'm
from
really...
space.
How is it just because like they're just so good at textiles? Is that how they're just being like, yo, okay, if like we'll help you with the technology? I don't even know. Like, are they developing spacesuit technology or they're merely designing it? How does it work here?
I don't know. It's
I think
unclear.
I guess it's maybe the design. They're like, okay, have it dripped out. And they're like, it's actually the suits are too slim to actually keep someone safe from the the hostile environment of being in space.
Right. Yeah, very a slim fit NASA spacesuit.
Is this sleeveless with a deep V-neck?
We had to take out some tubes and shit, but we figured, you know, you got to suffer to look good.
Right.
But I'm disappointed. If these images are what Prada has come up with, not at all what I was expecting. I was like, oh, we're about to get the new sleek, hot shit uniform.
Well, the ones at the bottom, is that the one in the dock?
Yeah,
those are just past. Those are the space suits up to this point.
Oh, okay, pre-Prada. All right, okay, yeah.
Pre-Prada.
Pre-Prada.
This is okay. EP before Prada.
They Prada has just been tapped, so they're going into the lab right now.
Because look, here's the thing: every year at the Olympics, whatever big designer is like out of your country comes in and they design your like the walk. Whatever that big walk is where all the countries come in.
Yeah, exactly.
Those all get designed. And each year we get to sit back like we are fashion aficionados and be like, Not the look this year. Tommy Hilfiger did not cash it. Tommy Hilfiger really hasn't hit since Salt Lake City. No. Those uniforms.
And then it's been like
amazing.
Ralph Lauren, hasn't it?
Yeah. Did they switch to Ralph Lauren? Yeah, maybe that's why we're not hitting as much. I feel like we gotta really embrace some new American designers. Virgil Abloh should have designed some opening uniforms.
Absolutely.
Before we lost him.
Yeah.
I think
or for Ghana, yeah.
Truly. We have like, and if we look back at like historically, I think probably the most famous designer, like couture designer uniforms are Hugo Boss's Nazi uniforms, which, you know, obviously fuck the Nazis, but their uniforms were clean. The lines were, they were working. Listen, Hugo Boss could cut a suit. That's all we're saying. Period. End of story. The guy knew how to use some scissors. I just feel like if we're not going to bring.
That's why I collect the uniform.
No. Nobody said that. Nobody said that. We burn all Nazi insignia. All of it should
fashion.
Be gone. Wipe it
Turn
from the
left.
Earth.
They made good plates and cutlery. Okay. I just like to show them to my other wealthy friends.
Yeah.
But if we could get, you know, a designer in here who could make it, you know, fashion, I'm here for it.
I think it'd be cool.
I love pretty aesthetics.
I do too. I think here's the thing. All right. So first of all, like this story is just like, so they were tapped to make the suits by Axiom Space, the private space exploration company that recently inked a $228 million contract with NASA to modernize spacesuits. So basically, you know, huge sums of taxpayer money went to pay a corporate middleman who in turn hired a high-end Italian company. We'll see. Like, maybe they look super clean. This brought to my attention that some of the spacesuits to this point have looked awesome. Like, way cooler than I feel like they had any right to look, considering that they were designed by Playtex. Like, that's who designed these. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, the 281 spacesuits and the 88 orange one, like, we'll link off to this image, are
so... Dude, 81 is goated.
81 is so goated. Yeah.
That's like the one that you always see, like, on astronaut ice cream.
Yeah,
you know, like that.
The yellow one with like patches and shit.
Oh, give me that.
It's give me that.
Give me that. Give me that. That's what I say when I look at a spacesuit. Give me that.
And it just like there are because I did have in the back of my head like those Olympic sweatsuits where everybody enters the stadium. And those are things where they're like, and we have our greatest fashion designers like designing these, and they never look as cool as you want them to. And I'm just wondering, like, why did the spacesuit look as good as it did? And, you know, maybe we can call out some other examples of just like uniforms or clothes that are just like, that go way harder than they have any right to go. Cause
oh,
like,
man. Can we talk about, okay. The 60s Pan Am stewardess outfits. Well, bam! We're just talking fashion. My God. Pillbox, blue, like sleek mini skirts and stuff. Like, you had to be model level hot to get hired. Again, it was a sexist institution and we don't support everything about it, but the suits were clean.
Yes. I was going to say baseball uniforms because they... I don't know. First of all, the baseball hat has just become so iconic. So like of all sportswear, that's the one that is like, you know, taken over, crossed over the most. I'd have to assume like that.
Mm-hmm.
But like part of it might be that the players are all like peak athletes. They're not all, but a lot of them are peak athletes. So they look great in anything that you're going to put them in. And unfortunately, that is the one sport where the managers wear like elderly beer gut having managers also wear the same uniform. And in those cases, it's not quite as flattering, but.
Right.
I think that's fair because it tells you the regular consumer whether you're about to be able to pull this off or not. Be like, sir, you might want to wear your baseball top with a jean instead. Like, let's create a cleaner line at the bottom. You can't do
untouched
high socks.
Stirrups too.
Yeah.
No, you didn't need to wear stirrups. No need for that. No need for that.
The stirrups are such a flourish. It's like they're purely decorative.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
like you're not doing
cute.
Shit with that.
You're not doing anything.
Get back in there.
Just need a second pair of socks with like a little
bikini,
little thong at the bottom.
The easiest ones to like call out, I feel like just from a fashion sense, are probably like polo and rugby. Mm-hmm. you know, because like we think of like the rugby shirt as like now has just in just made its way as like a fashion silhouette. Polo obviously has like its own like, you know, shishi aesthetic. I don't know. I feel like Japanese school uniforms are also like kind of iconic. I don't know if they go harder than they need to, but it is something that inspires like a lot of other stuff.
Late 90s, early aughts, it was really influencing a ton of stuff, at least in America. We were seeing it everywhere.
Because Sailor Moon, too, is like, you know, that was that. That's just sort of continuing that sort of like Japanese school sailor aesthetic or whatever. So
100%. I would also say basketball uniforms, especially as we consider like the basketball short and the absolute takeover that that had when we were suddenly making wearing basketball shorts.
It's called my uniform.
Hey, basketball shorts as long as your pants.
Oh, I used to have these shorts that were criminally long, like mid shin. And like, I didn't have to sag them. They were that fucking long.
I believe.
And I used to wear another pair of basketball shorts under those in case like a game kicked off. I'm like, I can't ball in these baggy ass shorts, but I got slightly less baggy shorts underneath them. That was definitely, my uniform for real. Yeah.
The basketball shoe, I said the baseball hat, the basketball shoe are the two most cross.
Most iconic,
yeah, most iconic crossover athletic thing. I will
and
say.
And polo shirt, no? Wouldn't you say
polo,
the polo
shirt,
shirt
is definitely in there for sure. Like a long shot, but if you ever get a chance to look up the fencing gear is pretty cool looking.
It does look cool. It's not at all practical. It cannot
not practical at all
to it your looks, real life in any way, shape, or form. But
it looks like one of those things that you would see either like that. Maybe this is what some of the characters in A Clockwork Orange were wearing. Like it has like Clockwork Orange vibes, and it looks like something you would see on a fashion runway, like at Fashion Week, and you would be like, "Well, that's impractical, and no one's ever gonna." I'm never going to see someone wearing that, but it does cut a fine, fashionable silhouette.
We can also get into military stuff. The bomber jacket.
Yeah.
Hugely popular post, what is it, like World War II? World War
I? Bomber jacket.
Well, there's like the leather bomber that's probably right after World War II. And then comes like the, what is it, like the M1A jacket or whatever. There is so much, too, that's just taken from, like, military standard wear that becomes, like, our overshirts. But I think now you're seeing more, like, it's more, like, you know, like, hard, like, more, like, construction-type shit that's becoming more mainstream.
Carhartt
kind of stuff and, you know, like, looking like a lumberjack, even though you be day trading, you know, on your computer all day. But you got to look rugged like Justin Timberlake. Let him know.
But I do think 80s NASA spacesuit. Probably not practical yet, but in the future, when it becomes impossible to walk outside
without breathe our air,
some our
sort
time.
Of protection, that where I'm just saying, like invest in NASA spacesuits there. My kids were astronauts one year for Halloween, and that, you know, very easy costume to put on, take off, you know, just like helmet and onesie
essentially. And
it looked great. Like that was when I first had this thought. I was like, damn, those look so cool. Like, they look great on you guys.
Can we talk about a terrible uniform? Have you guys seen the SpaceX uniforms?
No.
Oh, bro, they look bad. They look real bad. They look like bad Trek uniforms. They're like white and like,
wait,
dark
is this
gray.
For real?
Right?
This is a joke, man, Tim.
Oh, yeah, this sucks.
Oh, wow. These look like people that die in a movie. You know what I mean? Like, these suits look like not up to whatever the fucking task is.
This sci-fi film had a $12,000 budget.
Yeah. They're like, what do you got? They're like, I got this old jumpsuit from when I was doing painting jobs. And I could use that with some like rubber boots and my ex-girlfriend's motorcycle helmet. Okay.
Yeah.
You got it.
And all you really need is a turtleneck in space, I guess. Because I don't feel like if I got jettisoned out of a capsule that I'm surviving very long in this thing. I don't.
Nah.
Are those, because the shirts, okay, it looks like a pant and top set, not a like one body uniform.
Yeah, the
like,
cold air is going to seep in through there. Where's the cold air is going to get in?
I don't like it. I don't like it. Hideous, guys. I can't even begin to tell you how hideous these uniforms are.
Oof. Right. It's wild, dude. I don't know. These aren't really good uniforms, but again, you know, it is what it is.
All right. Well, Joelle, thank you so much for joining us on this episode. Where can people find you and follow you and all that good stuff?
Gosh. Yeah, I'm Joelle Monique. You can follow me all over the internet at Joelle Monique. That's J-O-E-L-L-E-M-O-N-I-Q-U-E. I don't have enough time to actually find the name of this. Maybe I'll drop it so you guys can add it to the comments. But there is an account on Instagram where all they do is they strip the paint off of old dressers. Now, listen, it sounds boring as hell. It sounds awful. Great. But what's really happening is these dressers are dirty and beat up. And they're the kind of dressers you'd find on the side of the road. And everyone would be like, ew, look at how tacky and trashy. They just strip and polish it. And suddenly it's a beautiful work of art that you would absolutely want to have in your home. And all of the time, it makes, I hate buying new furniture because everything is built to last you like a max of 7 years now, unless you have crazy money to invest in like a solid oak something.
Right.
But this old furniture is still kicking around. Like, if you put in very minimal work, you could have beautiful pieces of art that will last you like another 50 years. And I just think it's inspiring to create something really like this really touching story about a woman whose brother died. And this was like the last thing that she had of his. She couldn't really sell it. She was like, I don't really know what to do with this. And then the woman was like, just bring it over to my house and I'll repair it and fix it up. And she did. And the woman like bought it back from her. And now she has this beautiful piece from her brother's home in her house and it's restored. It's just, I just think it's really lovely to make old things new again.
Amazing. Miles, where can people find you? Is there a work of media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, find me on Twitter, or formerly X, as well as Threads, Instagram, and the like, at Miles of Gray. Been there, done that. Also, check me out, on the Good Thief, 420 Day Fiancé, and our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. And that's where we are at. Let's see, a tweet that I like. This one's from at Digital Earn. It said, talk to my therapist about 9/11 for like 10 minutes today. Big milestone. She even told me that she's a fan of 9/11 memes. What a therapist.
Wow. Tweet I've been enjoying. Katie Delaney tweeted, hoping one day a magazine has occasion to do a profile on me so I can finally find out in beautiful prose what specific vibe I give off when I enter a restaurant.
A dream, truly.
That is the dream. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what is a song that you think people might enjoy?
I think you might enjoy the drum and bass samba stylings of DJ Patife, P-A-T-I-F-E. And this track is called Sambasim, S-A-M-B-A-S-S-I-M. And this is a nice little samba, a little drum and bass Brazilian
samba
vibe.
Sambasim once told me.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
It's not that one.
That's what I was thinking of a different one.
Going,
you caught me off guard with that one. That you stuck that one in. So yeah, check this one out. It's a great listen, and just pretend you're in like a Miami cafe as you listen to this. Okay,
all right. Well, we will link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.